Thank you for coming today, being part of our study. This is the February month. It's called Black History Month in America. So this is the time that we will spend studying about Black history. We studied about Black history last year and read out of my books, People of Color in the Bible, Preliminaries Establishing a Foundation. We mainly spent our time in the area of the introduction and the preface of the book. Now we're going to start this year with chapter one, and we're going to be going through parts of the book. We pray that people would want the book as we read through it so that they can follow along. They can order the book and get the book on www.peopleofcolor1.com. Again, you click on the books under www.peopleofcolor1.com. And you click under religious books and you'll see People of Color in the Bible. Establishing a Foundation. The ABCs of the Bible. If you don't know who the people of the Bible are, then you don't really understand the Bible. And if you're going to understand the Bible, you got to understand the people, its landmass, at what time frame we're talking about. And so it is very important for these things for us to understand. We studied last week about the three main temptations that Yeshua had in Luke chapter 4. And we found out about these three temptations are the same temptations that are hitting us and that are taking us into a whole nother realm of thinking and existence. We realize that the first one was dealing with appetite, as it deals with the appetite of people. The second one deals with specifically with materialism, of people getting caught up in this materialistic world. And then you find out that you wind up following all of these different people, like kings, queens, the Bible calls it the sons of men. It's called the in vain do they keep my law, teaching the commandments of men. So the tradition of men. We found out also the tradition of the elders, and that's all nothing but dogma or the doctrines of the churches. Simple as that, the philosophy of men. We read that. And so his second temptation was that, hey, if you will give yourself, if you will follow me, that I will give you the riches and the glory and all of those different things. If you will throw yourself off the pinnacle. And he quoted a scripture because he realized that after the first temptation, Yeshua used scripture to defend what he was saying. And so the devil realized that. So since he realized that he was coming from him from a spiritual perception, from a spiritual walk, he had to come to him with scriptures. So he said for him to turn bread into stone into bread. He said, in a man shall not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of Yahweh. Then in the second one, he's not talking about bread, but he says that he shows them all the beautiful things, all the things of this world. And he said that he will give that to him in the glory and his riches. So that's materialism. That's egoism, what we go after. And he says, then you will follow me. I mean, if you bow down and you worship me, and I will give you all of these things. So it has to do with the worship of man, the worship of humans. And he says that if you throw yourself down, you shall not dash thy foot against a stone. And so we found that out in the second one. And in the third one, he's quoting scriptures. And letting him know that if he... Well, let's look at each of these in Luke. Luke chapter 4. Everyone can turn there with me. And it starts at verse 1. And it says, and Yeshua, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. So it's how many days? 40 days tempted. And in those days, he did eat nothing. And when they had ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the son of Elohim, command this stone to be made bread. So just like he said, if, questioning what Yahweh has said. For Yahweh has already declared at the baptism of John in John chapter 4. In the book of John, he tells him, I believe that's, he says that, behold, the Lamb of Elohim, which taketh away the sin of the world. So he was already declared to be the son of Elohim. So now he questions that, if thou be the son of Elohim. And so he did the same temptation with Eve. He said, did Yahweh said that thou shalt not eat of every tree of the garden? There's the, again, question, if. Did Yahweh say this? Okay? So, when we come to the second temptation, and he says, and Yeshua answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread only, but by every word of Elohim. And the devil taking him up into a high mountain, showing him all the kingdoms of the world. And that's what the devil is doing now, showing us all of this stuff and telling us we can have all of this world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power, see, there you go, got the power, see, will I give thee, and the glory of them, that's the riches, that's all of the things that you would ever want. You want to be this, then this will be rich. Now, some people were selling, you know, drugs so that they can do what? So that they can eat and live and enjoy themselves. So that's like that. Okay? Some people are selling their souls to him by teaching things of white supremacy, of being able to use missionaries to convert people over into white supremacy. All different type of things are being done. That we go around in the name of Jesus, that we're one nation under God, deceiving, laming, killing, and destroying people's stuff, and stealing the riches or the resource minerals out of the earth, and stealing them and taking them over to different parts of the world, and ripping off the land and ripping off the people in the African diaspora. So, we also see here, okay, he says that he will give him all the power and the glory of them, for that is delivered to me, to whomsoever I will give it. So he says, hey, if you worship me, hey, I can give you everything. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. Now notice that's the whole key again. He wants him to what? Worship him. Okay. And Yeshua answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship Yahweh thy Elohim, and him only shall thou serve. So we cannot combat the devil on our own, but we combat him with the word. And so we have to use the word to be able to keep us straight, and to be able to use the word to be able to fight. That's the sword of the spirit, the Bible calls it. Okay. And now we come to the next temptation. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. Now notice, he taught him to Jerusalem, the holy city. So he's bringing him to the church and puts him on the temple, okay, in the church. And say unto him, if thou be the son of Elohim, cast thyself down hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. So now he's quoting the book of Psalms to Yeshua. And Yeshua answered and said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt Yahweh thy Elohim. So then he comes back with another scripture. And so here it's making clear that he is misusing scriptures to teach and to tell people things that are not true, but using the scriptures, using, because it was at the pinnacle of the church, of the temple. So this is the highest part of Christianity or the Christian movement and these false religions that are actually going on. That's what it's referencing, at reaching the pinnacle of its height. And we have here, he lets them know that. Now, last week I mentioned that miseducation, everyone is miseducated through white supremacy, through the Christian dogma churches and so forth. And someone had made mention to me that I had made mention that the people in the South go to church, and they use that as a, you know, like a convention or some way that everybody's going there, that that's part of societal living, that their church goes, because it's called the Bible Belt. And I didn't mention that up in the North, that mostly, you know, when they look at the North versus the South as the Bible Belt, and people go into church and it's just a tradition, as up North, they don't go to church. They're looked at as atheists. As you learn more knowledge, then you become an atheist. And so a lot of people don't go to church up North. So I wanted to make the comparison. That's what I was trying to compare. I wasn't trying to put down the South versus the North. No, I was just trying to show that tradition has taught us to go to church in the South through the Bible Belt, and up North to throw out the baby with the bathwater. And so people don't go to church, and people don't even believe in God. People think of the North as atheists. Okay, so I wanted to clear that up, because I want to make sure that people get what I'm saying, and not through something that I've said that be misunderstood. Okay, when we found out there through predetermination, we live in a predetermined system, and the system is designed in those three ways, that to take you down one of those paths or down all of those paths. And because we don't know this, then we think we are choosing free will, but we're not. We're caught up in this world of predetermined system. And so what we wanted to share was that we found out that at the end, that we are free. You're only free to choose who you're around to influence you, who's your friends, so that they can all be going toward self-actualization, can all be going toward Yahweh, can all be going toward that direction. So your friends that will influence you around, because the world is influencing you every moment through the TV, through the media, and all of those different things, and through the music, and the church, and the Sabbath school lessons, and the Sunday school lessons. And so now the other thing that you have a choice in is choosing your friends and what material you study. So if you study the material of the ancients and what their thoughts was and how they wrote things, then you that will guide you back on the path. But if you study the Sunday school lessons and the Sabbath school lessons and listen to these things that are on the TV and the radio and so forth, and through education system, in the school system, all teaching white supremacy, then you will be at a disadvantage. And you won't know who you are. Who are you? Everybody else on the planet can tell you who they are except African Americans. Okay? Why can't we tell who we are? Because we don't know where we came from. The history that we've been given here, our history had been stolen. And we're going to read about that. We're going to read about the doctrines of Balaam. Balaam has done that to a people such that Balaam couldn't curse the people, so he had the people curse themselves by following the traditions of the world at Baal, at the Moabites at that time. So we're going to come back, but at this time we're going to take our break for our sponsors.
That the supernatural is real? Yep, that's exactly what Jesus taught and operated in. Kingdom principles for kingdom living. So to walk in your kingdom authority, enroll at Living Water Training Institute for the January 2015 session. Living Water Training Institute offers ministerial training for the kingdom, and you will learn what spiritual warfare is and how to navigate in the spirit realm legally and efficiently. And guess what? You do not have to be present to attend. So for more information, give us a call at area code 904-638-6906 or email us at livingwatertraining@gmail.com. Oh yeah, and check out the website at www.livingwaterhealingministries.org. So I challenge you to sharpen your arsenal and operate from your kingdom mantle.
One Day Denture Repair is a denture repair service that is centrally located in Jacksonville, Florida.
They repair your partial or denture while you wait. If you crack or break your denture, please call One Day Denture Repair at 904-210-6208 for an appointment.
Phenomenal.
thank everybody for coming back, being part of this study. We have been looking and trying to understand the things that are actually going on around us and in this world. We read or talked about predetermined system that we live in, and we found out that we can be free. But we only have freedom in two choices: of who we pick as friends who are seeking for the same thing, so that we might all reach our same goal together, or if we don't, we have society to determine that for us. And then we have the curriculum that society gives us in the textbooks, in the school systems. Also what they give us in the, not just in the textbooks, but also what they give us in our churches, in our Sunday school and Sabbath school lessons. And so these are ways that also through the media, through the History Channel, through all the different movies that are on, also through the music world, that aspect of the media. So we're being attacked from all angles and being put in our minds such that we don't choose a curriculum, if we don't choose the curriculum of Yahweh. And we talked about the week before that of being filled with His Word, having His Word fill you and change your life. Eating of the Word. So we are going to talk about how we have forgotten of who we are. We are the people of the book, the ancients. But we have lost sight of that because we have been told that we aren't, that all we're good for is slavery. But as we can see, we're much better than slaves. So, what type of things are being done to stop this? I was reading in, you know, the Bible talks about Enoch and some of these other ancient books. Asher, the book of Asher and some. So I ran across some of them, and I was just reading some of it, and I thought this was important because this is what they're keeping from it. Now, we know that the Bible talks about in the book of James about the writings of Enoch. And so we'll read some of those different things. What is doctrine? Why are we concerned with doctrines? Okay? Doctrines is dogma. Okay? And the same thing when we talk about the doctrines or the teachings of Baal or Balaam, that he set up a stumbling block to the children of Israel. We're going to talk about that and how it's being used today and how it was used at the time of Moses. But before that, we wanted to read to find out certain important things that are needful for us. And this one here says that happy is he who glories in the works of Yahweh. That's what we should glory. We should study nature. We should study the science of nature and so forth, and all the things that He has given to us. For the heavens declare His glory, and the firmament His handiwork. Cursed is he who insults the creatures of Yahweh. Okay, so when we're talking about insulting the creatures of Yahweh, is taking a pig and vultures and so forth and eating them instead of using them as sanitation department. Happy is he who organizes the work of his hands. That's right, organizes the work of Yahweh's hands and his own hands so as to raise them up. So we should be studying the works of Yahweh's. We should be studying his handiwork, because the Bible tells us that. Cursed who looks to obliterate the work of others. So it's also talking about here. Here's when you cover up different things, that you hide different things that others have done, and you steal their legacy. It says, cursed is he who looks to obliterate the works of others. And the works of the Africans have been obliterated. and according to the church and according to living in America. Happy who preserves the foundations of his most ancient fathers, made firm from the beginning. So it says, happy are those who what? Preserve the foundation of the most ancient fathers. We don't know who's ours, my ancient fathers. Our most ancient fathers is the biblical characters. So we should be studying them in depth, day and night, memorizing, spending our time, setting our kids in front of the word, letting them be able to become part of them. We homeschooled our kids, and when we homeschooled them, they would play with little action figures, black action figures, and they would be able to play action figures with Yeshua and John the Baptist and Elijah and David and Goliath and all of these different characters, and they were all black. And these characters, because that's what the true historical representation is of these people. And so they would act it out amongst themselves, and they would play by themselves. We didn't have to tell them what to do, and they would be acting those out. They wasn't acting out, you know, killer scenes from, you know, Transformer and all of these, you know, other, you know, ridiculous nonsense. Nor would Daffy Duck and Donald Duck showing all the black characters. Donald Duck, you know, as always being beaten up, and Bugs Bunny, you know, running him over, and the Road Runner, and, you know, and Coyote, who's dark skin also. So you have all of these figures that have been brainwashed and put into your mind as young people. And so we had them acting out Bible characters. Matter of fact, we didn't tell them what to do. They did that themselves. So you can have the word of Yahweh envelop into your children so that they can take over. Read some of the books that we have for the children that will give them that type of thinking. Thinking about nature, and they're going out and enjoying nature and being able to talk about the birds and talk about the elements and so forth. Read it. Get the children's books and videos. www.peopleofcolor1.com. Check them out. Okay, so it says, blessed are those that preserve the foundation of the ancestors. Okay, that's what we need. So in the fourth level of behavioral science is self-esteem. And so you would get the self-esteem if we could understand who we are and who were the ancestors and the people who wrote the Bible, so that we might be able to identify with truly a godly or righteous people in the word. And then it says, cursed he who breaks down the institution of his ancestors and fathers. So it says those that people could be cursed who are tearing down our ancestors and our fathers. Okay? And we know that a lot of the people that are singing these songs and so forth and calling people bees and dogs, that they're breaking down our ancestors and our fathers. And they are going to be cursed. They are cursed. Even though they might have money, they're getting materialism. They're getting all of these different things that society has to offer them through drugs and through sex and through killing and through you name it. Anything that is outrageous, that's what people pay for. Because we have a warped mind. Okay, and it says, curses anybody who tears down the institution of his ancestors and fathers. Happy who cultivates the love of peace. And so that's what Martin Luther did, Martin Luther King. That's what different leaders in our society did. They were trying to cultivate peace. So he says, blessed are they. And Africans and African Americans have for centuries been a spiritual people and are trying to bring peace. Then you have some who aren't. Cursed who disturbs those who are peaceful by means of love. So it says, it's cursed are those that come in the name of Jesus, that come as missionaries and come in the name of the church, and at the same time they come to disturb those who are peaceful by means of love, by saying, you know, hey, we love you when you know you don't. Happy is he who, even though he does not speak peace with his tongue, nevertheless, in his heart, there is peace toward all. And that's what this whole thing is about. To love Yahweh with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your spirit. And to love your neighbor as yourself. And that's what, in your heart, that you want to have peace toward all men. Then it says, cursed who with his tongue speaks peace, but in his heart there is no peace but a sword. For all these things will be weighed in the balances and exposed in the books on the great judgment day. So we see that there's another group of people that come in peace. And that's how they came to the Americas. They came to peace to the Native Americans. And they promised them this, that, and the other peace. And they did what? They came with the sword. They wiped them out. They kicked them off the land and stole the land. So we see this is very applicable to us today of what is going on and how it works. At this time, we'll take another break to hear from our sponsors.
Did you know that the supernatural is real? Yep, that's exactly what Jesus taught and operated in. Kingdom principles for kingdom living. So to walk in your kingdom authority, enroll at Living Water Training Institute for the January 2015 session. Living Water Training Institute offers ministerial training for the kingdom, and you will learn what spiritual warfare is and how to navigate in the spirit realm legally and efficiently. And guess what? You do not have to be present to attend. So for more information, give us a call at area code 904-638-6906 or email us at livingwatertraining@gmail.com. Oh yeah, and check out the website at www.livingwaterhealingministries.org. So I challenge you to sharpen your arsenal and operate from your kingdom mantle.
One Day Denture Repair is a denture repair service that is centrally located in Jacksonville, Florida. They repair your partial or denture while you wait. If you crack or break your denture, please call One Day Denture Repair at 904-210-6208 for an appointment.
Phenomenal.
Yes, thank you for coming back and being part of our study. We thank thee. We were looking at some of the things that talk about people hiding, coming in peace, and really not coming in peace, but just trying to take people out and then to deceive them and thinking that they're your friends and they're not. And they're at this all this time just trying to take you out. It is important that we understand that, because we don't want friends like that around. We want true friends. True friends that is going to encourage us and keep us on our pathway to Yahweh, so that we might be able to grow up into men and women in the Messiah. There was, I've always wondered of why certain books were left out and they didn't want us to read them. And that was one of them, because if you go back to look at your ancestors, and our ancestors are the ancient people of the Bible, it says that if you take that away from them, then they're going to be lost. And so we, as African Americans, are lost people, trying to figure out who we are, where we've been, and what are we supposed to be doing. Now, some might say that doesn't matter, but according to what we just read, it does matter. It has a big influence on where you're going to go next. Then if you believe some people are trying to save you or trying to help you, and they're not really, and they are don't come in peace, they come with a sword and their intent is to take you out, then you don't want to really be around them guys neither, or at least listening to the rhetoric or the propaganda or the dogma or the doctrines or the traditions of men that they have for you. And so we're going to look at another section, Enoch, and it says, and now I know this mystery, for they, the sinners, shall alter the just verdict, and many sinners will take it to heart. So it's talking about this mystery going on. Great is the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of how did Satan become Lucifer? How did an unfallen being become a falling being? A mystery. No one really knows. But we see here that it talks about that there's this mystery of people changing the verdicts of Yahweh. At, you know, it, you go to the courts and the people say that you can pay the courts to do anything. And they'll, you know, the people can be bribed, can be bought. And we know that in the government, you know, people are given certain amount of money so that big business can continue to rip off the little people. All of these different things, it says it takes the just verdict. Who shall, it says, for they, the sinners, shall alter the just verdict. And many sinners will take it to heart, and they'll take it and they'll just run with it and keep going and think it's that's policy, that you get elected so that you can become a crook, or that you can help the rich continue to rip you off. It's a sick society. It says they will speak evil words and lies. So that's what is going on in this society we have today, Babylon, in America. They're speaking what? Evil words and lies. And they will invent fictitious stories. That means that they will create what they call his story, which they have done. Stole our legacy and pinned it on themselves, and pinned it on the Greeks when the Egyptians and the ancient Ethiopians and Cushites and so forth were followers of Yahweh. And we're going to read that. We're going to read that through our books on people of color in the Bible. It goes through all of those details. It shows you what the scriptures literally say. And then it says, and they, the sinners, will invent fictitious stories and write out my scriptures on the basis of their own words. So that's what we call the European Bible commentaries. That's based on your Sunday school lessons and your Sabbath school lessons. So there we go. Also, then when they teach history in school, they're teaching American history, but the true Americans is not their history. It's European American history. It's not real history. It's not American history because it's not about the Native Americans. And the same thing when they talk about American history, you have to see it not just from the Native American side, but also from the African, the slave side. So those two sides have been eliminated out of the books, and only the winners or the people, the sinners, who are saying that there's one nation under God, which it can't be under one God. But the question is, whose God is it? The God of money? The God of green? The God of this world? Yes, that's exactly who runs Babylon and America at this point in history. And it says they will write out my scriptures on the basis of their own opinions or of their own words. And would that they had written down all the words truthfully on the basis of their own speech, and neither altered nor took away from the word all of which I testified to them from the beginning, only if they would have done what's right. But we did not. They did not. And so this is the turmoil that we find ourselves in. So we're going to look at Revelation chapter 2, and it says, "And to the angels at the church of Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even in where Satan's seat is." So where are we dwelling? In Satan's seat? Wow. "And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days where Agabus was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth." And now we've read in Babylon, we read in Revelation chapter 18 about Babylon is fallen, become the habitations of devils and the cage of every unclean and hateful spirit and the foul spirit. We've read that, and so that's where we are today. We are in Babylon. We're caught up in this Babylonian system of the SAD diet, the standard American diet, and all that goes with it in reference to education, religion, and so forth. So, what else does it say? How does this work? Okay? It says, "But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrines of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel." Now let me ask you a question. What is the doctrines of Balaam? What did Balaam teach Balak? Okay? Now, some of you, what I want to say is that he taught them, Balaam. You can read a lot of this in the book of Numbers, chapter 22. Okay? The children of Israel was set forth. This is chapter 22, starting at verse 1. I'll skip around just to speed it up. "Children of Israel set forth and pitched in the plain of Moab, on this side of Jordan by Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of the people, because there were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, Now shall this company lick up all that are around us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field." Okay, so what do we see here? We see that the Moabites are upset, they are distressed, they are afraid of the children of Israel. And so it is today, that the people who are not the true Israelites are afraid of us and are sore distressed of us. Even though they kept us in slavery for 400 years, from the 1600s up until 1800s, I guess that's more like 200 years, and then another 200 years to now, to 20, in reference to mental slavery. And so what we find ourselves in this position, such that they are afraid of it. Same thing was in Egypt, that it says that the people, the Egyptians, were afraid of the children of Israel, and so they threw them in slavery. So we see here the Moabites, they're not going to throw us into slavery, they're just going to wipe us out. And how will they do that? Now, in the past, the Egyptians wiped us out. How did they wipe us out? I mean, they didn't wipe us out. They put us in slavery, and we was in American slavery. So now the next thing is, how do you move into the next level after you let them out of slavery, and now you're wandering? The African Americans are free, in a certain sense. And so we're going to learn here about what did they do to the school system and the churches and the TV and the media to influence our minds. And we're going to take a break, our last break here, for our hear from our sponsors.
Did you know that the supernatural is real? Yep, that's exactly what Jesus taught and operated in. Kingdom principles for kingdom living. So to walk in your kingdom authority, enroll at Living Water Training Institute for the January 2015 session. Living Water Training Institute offers ministerial training for the kingdom, and you will learn what spiritual warfare is and how to navigate in the spirit realm legally and efficiently. And guess what? You do not have to be present to attend. So for more information, give us a call at area code 904-638-6906 or email us at livingwatertraining@gmail.com. Oh yeah, and check out the website at www.livingwaterhealingministries.org. So I challenge you to sharpen your arsenal and operate from your kingdom mantle.
One Day Denture Repair is a denture repair service that is centrally located in Jacksonville, Florida. They repair your partial or denture while you wait. If you crack or break your denture, please call One Day Denture Repair at 904-210-6208 for an appointment.
I wanna be phenomenal for you, Lord.
we thank everybody for coming back. As we were reading in the book of Numbers, okay, we've read already about how that Bihor, Balak was distressed over the people of Israel. And lots of people are distressed over us Africans. That's why they brought us here into the African diaspora. But let's read on, okay? So people are distressed about you, so they have to figure out how can we deal with these people, especially those that are out of slavery. And it says, shall be licked up. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of Moab at that time. He sent messages before unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Perathon, which is by the river of the children of his people. Skip down to verse 6. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too many for me. Peradventure, I shall prevail, that we shall smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For want that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. So we have here one person here who's Balaam, who was a servant of Yahweh, and Yahweh used him in the past. And we see here that Balak is saying, come and curse Israel for me, and because we heard that whom you curse is cursed, and whom you bless is blessed. So drive them out from before me. And so they used a spiritual they tried to come from a spiritual perspective. And so what perspective have they come up with us to lock us into a white supremacist thinking and hatred of blacks and your own self? The hatred of self-hatred. Such that it's easy for a person to just policeman or just an average white person just to shoot a black youth with no hesitation and can get off with no problems, just like in the days of lynching. And they consider that because they have black on black violence, and hardly any of them go to jail if they're paid up to the right people. So we have all of these things, but they wanted just to get rid of us. So they going from a spiritual sense, a spiritual direction. And so what do they give to Balaam? And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the reward of divination in their hands. And they came to Balak and spake unto him the words of Balak. Okay? So we see here that they come with the reward of money. That reward of divination. Okay? Curses people and I will give you money. And today we see that in the churches, they make it's a big business to keep people deceived, to keep people locked down, to keep people from really misunderstanding the scriptures. This is all a spiritual battle. We're in a spiritual war, and the reward of divination is being given to those that are what we call authorized sanctioned scholars, who are blessed by these denominations to teach white supremacy and teach the Sunday school lessons and the Sabbath school lessons and all of these material. And you cannot see every movie that comes out as it relates to Yeshua, as it relates to the Moses and the prophets. All of them are all the wrong characters. They were not Europeans. Europeans never even heard of the gospel, didn't receive the gospel as a people until the New Testament. So this is all talking about Old Testament doctrine. Okay? So that's where, so then we see these people giving the churches the rewards of divination in their hands, speaking unto them to curse the people. Now how would you curse Yahweh's people? Okay? You can't curse Yahweh's people. And if you do curse Yahweh's people, it's going to backfire on you. And so Balaam knew that. And so it says in verse 9, and Elohim came to Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? And Balaam said to Elohim, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, have sent me, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse them. Peradventure I shall prevail to overcome them and drive them out. And Elohim said to Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said to the priests of Balak, get you into your land, for Yahweh refused to give me leave to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak and said, Balaam refuses to come with us. Okay? And then he goes back and he says, okay, well, what can I do now? So what he says is, and Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said unto him, thus saith Balak, the son of Beor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. For I will promote thee into great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou askest unto me. Come, therefore, I pray thee, curse this people. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of gold and silver, I cannot go beyond the word of Yahweh my Elohim to do less or more. Okay, so we see here that what's happening, he is giving him greater honor, giving him whatever he wants. And so that's what is going on today. And so people are becoming more and more and more corrupt in the churches, out of the churches, wherever they might be. But okay, so now we see here that Balaam goes and with them, and the angel tries to kill him three times, and the donkey protects him those three times from it, from him being slain. And then the angel opens the mouth of the donkey so that the donkey might be able to talk some sense into this mad prophet of Yahweh. And so the first time he went out the way, the second time he went up against a wall and crushed, hurt Balaam's foot. And then the third time he just stopped because the angel would have killed him right there. And in verse number 24, but the angel of Yahweh stood in the path of the vineyard, a wall being in between him. And that was the second one. He thrust his foot up against the wall. And the angel, in verse 26, and the angel of Yahweh went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn either to the right or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of Yahweh, she fell down up under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And Yahweh opened the mouth of the ass and said unto Balaam, what have I done thee that thou smitest thee these three times? And Balak said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would that there were a sword in my hand, for now would I kill thee. And the ass said unto Balaam, am I not thine ass upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. Then the angel opened the eyes of Balak, and he saw the angel of Yahweh standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of Yahweh said unto him, Wherefore hast thou smitten thee, thine ass, these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Nevertheless, she had turned from me. Surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. And Balak said unto the angel of Yahweh, I have sinned. Okay, so we see here that an ass is talking to Balaam. Balaam's eyes are closed. He is so blind in his rage. He's so blind in his trying to get riches. He's so blind in his materialism. He's so blind into making a covenant with the world that he can't see. And so it's the same way today. People can't see all the evil that is surrounding us, see all the evil that is wrapping us up. All of this stuff people cannot see. People do not realize how deep we are caught in darkness, and how deep we're in Babylon, how deep we're in this system. And so it's just like the Americans, when they had Africans and slaves, they could not see how deep that wickedness was. And the slaves, some of the black slaves who was the house slaves, they were promoted and they wanted to keep their position. And so they would do whatever master said. So yes, master, the house burned. We house burned. We, that means his house is burning. So they were a people that were trying to stay alive no matter what it cost. And so the master is blind. And so the servant was so faithful to him that he would whip his own people to serve master. He would betray his own people and not let them escape. And so this is what the mentality we have today, that people will say, well, I have a job to keep. I can't teach them the truth in the Bible. I can't teach them the truth in Sunday school lesson. I can't teach them the truth as it is in Yeshua. I cannot teach the truth in my school classes, because we can't teach people of color about. And people tell me that. And I said, wow. I said, it's just like slave days. Okay, but then now they got us by the money. You know, I go to school and I have to teach what they tell me to teach. I have to stay at these accredited schools so that I can get paid a decent salary. So we find ourselves in this situation to the max, even to today. This is where we find ourselves. Okay? And then when Balaam went to curse the children of Israel, blessings came out. And that happened three times, and Balak was mad with him and sent him home. So do you think Balaam, that was the end of it? No, that wasn't the end of it. Balaam comes back in chapter 25, the Bible says, and Balaam figures out how he can curse Israel. Notice in chapter 25, starting in verse 1, and Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredoms with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto sacrifices to their gods. And the people did eat and bow down to their gods. And Israel joined itself to Baal Peor, and the anger of Yahweh was kindled against Israel. And Yahweh said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before Yahweh against the sun, that the fierce anger of Yahweh may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every one his man that were joined to Baal Peor. So we see here that the only way that the plagues can come in and the people of Yahweh could be cursed, the only way that the curses of the Bible can rest on his people, is by them turning from Yahweh and being joined to the enemy. And we see here that they joined to false gods and eating the things that are offered to false gods and so forth. And so what we wind up here having is that now this Yahweh can curse his people, and we don't have to worry about us killing them or wiping them out. And so they used the religion of Baal Peor to get the people of Israel to forsake Yahweh and his will. And so it is today. We have what we call today the Gentile churches. We are not Gentiles. We as Africans and African diaspora, we are the Hebrews. And so the Europeans have decided to have us believe that we're Gentiles. And if we're Gentiles, then we're New Testament believers, and we can throw away all of the Old Testament. But we can't do that. We've been studying before about the law, that I am no longer under the law. It's not talking about the Ten Commandments. It's not talking about those laws. It's talking about the law of sin and death, okay, that are in our members. And so what we want to be able to realize is that we are forsaking Yahweh's commands of what he told us to do. And because we do that, then the curses of Yahweh on it. Why can't we prosper? Why do other people come from other nations and prosper and go beyond us? You don't understand that. The Bible says, cursed is thou in the city, cursed is thou in the country, cursed is thou in the fruits of your labor. Why do we are the number one people with high blood pressure, diabetes, and all of that, and osteoporosis? And why are we the ones that have the greatest amount of heart attacks and so forth? Because this is the curses that Yahweh said he would place on it. Now, you wonder why he doesn't place these curses so much on the Europeans. Because they're Gentiles. He didn't make a covenant with them. He made a covenant with his people. And he promised them that if they forsook the covenant, then Yahweh's wrath would rest on them. And that's why we're in our situation. We have to turn back to Yahweh, not to the church, not to European paganism, European pagan Christianity. No, we have to turn back to Yahweh and understand his word. That's why I said, you have a choice now to pick out your curriculum of who you will follow. Look at what we're saying in our books and videos and CDs and DVDs on the website, www.peopleofcolor1.com. Think about it. When you go back and when you look at this, you will be able to see that the curriculum that we're teaching and so forth that has been stolen from our forefathers, the Bible is not a white man's book. It is an African book. It was written by Africans for Africans about Africans. And as we go through this month of Black History Month, you will be able to see that. You'll be able to see who these characters are, where they came from, and so forth. Don't make the mistake and get caught up in what we call European pagan Christianity. The stuff that we're being taught today is not from the ancients, is not what Yahweh has given to us. And so this was the trick that this is the trick that Balaam had, the doctrine of Balaam that he brought upon the children of Israel. That if we can get them to forsake Yahweh and his word, and to follow after the gods of this world, follow after European gods and believe in a European pagan history, then we can get them to follow and they will be cursed. And that's why we're cursed today. So help us to understand and appreciate what Yahweh is telling us, of how Yahweh would like to free us from this. And you can go back and read 22 and chapter 25. That'll be good for you to get a better understanding of it. But we would like for you to appreciate the things that Yahweh has for us. Now, as we go into this, this is our first chapter, Adam and the Garden of Eden. This book is based upon the Bible and Torah, the first five books of the Bible, as well as upon the history of African and Islamic, European, African American, and Christian historians who have helped us acquire an accurate knowledge about the people and the places in the Bible. See, you have to understand the location of these events of the Old Testament. And you have to understand who is living in those places. We begin with Adam being created as the crowning act of Elohim's creation. Man was to bear Elohim's image, both in outward resemblance and in character. His countenance bore the ruddy tint, health and glow with the light of life and joy. Genesis chapter 2 verse 7. And Yahweh Elohim formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So man was not a living soul when he was made from the dirt. He was not a living soul when the breath, before the breath came into him. And the breath was not a living soul. So when you have a dead soul, when you stop breathing, when you stop living, you are a dead soul. You're no longer a living soul. So you cannot just go to heaven and go to hell. That cannot happen. You have to wait for the resurrection and the judgment day. So this here lets us know. We can see that man was created from soil, which is the dust of the ground. The richest soil on the earth is black. We have different shades of soil, from the red clay used to make brick to the brown colored soil most often found on farms. The word Adam in Hebrew is Adam, A-D-H-A-M. What is the key word? Ham. A-D, what? H-A-M. Ham. Mm-hmm. Why is the key word ham inside of the word Adam? Why is the H dropped out in our English text and just spelled A-D-A-M and dropped out the H? The same thing with Abraham. Abraham. Okay? Abraham is the last word is what? Ham. So it's there again, and that refers to black, taken from the earth. Okay? Which means red, or taken from the earth. The red earth. Perhaps Adam was formed from red or clay earth. According to the Hebrew Greek Key Study Bible, the name Adam means reddish brown. See figure 1.1. I find the color red extremely interesting as it relates to black and colored people. Secular anthropologists and respected scientists whose findings were published in Newsweek and National Geographic have concluded that Adam and Eve were African, dark-skinned people. Pictures of the black Adam and Eve appear on the front cover of January 11, 1988 issue of Newsweek magazine. So you can look up some of this stuff. Even the archaeologists, they know that Adam and Eve were black, and that the characters of the Old Testament were black. Okay? And that the New Testament characters was the first time that the whites or Europeans came into on the scene and was heavily interacting. Do you know of any white soil? Please do not say sand, because sand is not rich in minerals and elements like the soil. Remember, our bodies are composed of the same minerals and elements found in the soil at its same percentages. Why then do we see pictures showing Adam and Eve as white? This is based on the racism that is prevalent in America society and throughout the so-called civilized society. Someone might ask the question, if Adam and Eve were created black, then where did the white people come from? This question is discussed in greater detail in volume 2. But for now, let us hear from a medical doctor. According to Byron Hansen, MD, it is possible for a man to father three children with different complexities. And we'll shoot down. Okay, now we talk about the introduction to the four rivers. You know that the Bible says that there were four rivers that left the Garden of Eden? Okay, the word Cush. Okay, what does the word Cush mean? The word Cushite Ethiopia keeps coming up in reference to the four rivers that are used to identify the Garden of Eden in the Bible. The word Cush and Ethiopia are used interchangeably in the Bible translations we use today. The word Ethiopia means burnt-faced people. The Europeans used the term Ethiopia to denote Africans or black people. As one continues to read this book and the Bible, they will find out that the first river surrounded the land of Havilah. And Havilah was named after one of the sons of Cush. This would make it appear that the first river should be somewhere within the Cushite or Ethiopian Empire. See map 1-1. Since his son Havilah lived under his father's empire, the placement of the land of Havilah under the Cushite or Ethiopian Empire is clearly defined. Since the son's name is identified with that land, the second river surrounds the land of Cush or Ethiopia. In classical literature, Ethiopia, Cush and Ethiopia was denoted as everything south of Egypt. Today, Ethiopia is located in eastern Africa. The third and fourth river are the Tigris and Euphrates rivers, which surround the land of Nimrod. Nimrod, the son of Cush, established this land in ancient times. As one can see, these four rivers all surround the land that were established, inhabited, and controlled by Africans, Cushites, and Ethiopians. This makes it obvious that the Garden of Eden was in classical Africa and on the ancient African continent. Adam and Eve imperatively were Ethiopian, burnt-faced people, Cushites, Nubians, and black Africans. It is interesting to discover when viewing the video series entitled Millennium Tribal Wisdom and the Modern World, that the Nubians, the original Ethiopians, believe that they are the original or first people who were on the planet. One of the oldest names in this region in Africa is Akibalon, which means mother of mankind. To understand time, a time perspective, we place the fall of Adam and Eve around 4,000 BC. So this was what we come up to in the first river. And so I hope you had a chance to think, give you a chance to think about that. Don't want to keep running on. And next time we'll start off with our first civilization. So we pray that you've been able to appreciate and understand what Yahweh has to say to us and where we find ourselves. We're in a place that we have to understand the forces that are surrounding us, the forces that are imprinting their thoughts into our minds and having us not to follow through with Yahweh. So Yahweh, please help us and bless us. Give us wisdom and guidance. Open up our hearts, minds, and souls that we might be able to perceive the things of Yahweh. For with thee we can do all things, and without thee we can do nothing. So we just ask for your forgiveness, for your love, your companionship, and help us to be able to praise thee. We just ask that you might be able to show us the way to light. We pray that people will be able to understand what we've been studying, of how it relates to the TV, the media, and all of the schools, from Sabbath school, Sunday school, churches, education system, public schools, private schools, the curriculum is all designed to not have us identify of who we are. And we've read already that if we don't know who we are, then we can't know where we came from, so we can't truly go where we're going. And how that through the doctrines of Balaam are being taught today, so that we might be able to just fall in line. And we just pray that we might be able to get these books and videos, get a new curriculum, get a new choice of our minds and our children's minds, and go to people of color, thenumericnumber1.com, www.peopleofcolor.com. May Yahweh bless and keep you. May His wonderful grace pour upon you, and may He give you peace.